This morning's reading is taken from Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 to 6, the good news of deliverance. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall rise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and to their riches you shall glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, David. Don't need my spectacles because I can print things out at 18 points so I can read them. So this is my summary of an update, and I guess a little look ahead, and also an opportunity for me just to thank some people. But I've been here 12 years, 12 happy and fruitful years. At least I hope you agree that they have been fruitful. I can remember presiding at communion after we first arrived and the children being brought down and Theo seeing me. I think he wasn't yet 2 years old. And he used to see me at the back there and I'd be there in my chasuble at the front and he'd run in going, "Daddy, Daddy!" And it was a little embarrassing. But I now have a monosyllabic teenager. That is how long I have been here for. But it's been fantastic. And I just wanted to start by saying some thank yous. I wanted to thank you all for sticking with us through thick and thin, throughout the pandemic, through COVID, through watching online, and then coming back to church in your droves and bucking the trend when other churches are closing and still struggling at 25% of their pre-COVID attendance. If you've read the report, you will see Lorna's really interesting stats that we're almost back to our full pre-COVID attendance. And that is down to you, your perseverance, and a quick shout out to the 9 a.m. congregation, who possibly because of their age were all triple, quadruple jabbed before anybody else. But you blazed the trail back to church, and it was wonderful to see. Also, an amazing team of volunteers. That tube map, every one of those little stops, in inverted commas, has a leader and a team of people. And you're all here serving sacrificially. And I'm so grateful to you. And also for your generous giving, because without your generous giving, we wouldn't have, apart from anything else, we wouldn't be able to afford the brilliant staff team that we have. And it's such a privilege to have a team that now, given 12 years, I've handpicked everybody myself. I can't blame anybody for someone on the staff team. I've picked them all, and we work together so well, and every one of the staff team is sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every member of the team goes the extra mile, and we are so privileged. I'm particularly privileged to have such good colleagues, both on the paid staff and also the people who give their time freely. And my formal report, and it was interesting going through my diary week by week and making a note of things I needed to mention in that report, is in the paperwork. But I just wanted to highlight a few things that made last year so rewarding. seeing how the center and Hot Dog Wednesdays was thriving despite all the uncertainties and, you know, do we need to wear a mask? Don't we? Are we allowed X number of people in a room or are we not? Have we got the right health assessment, risk assessment? You know, through all that, insert whatever word you want to insert, we pushed through it and we managed to serve the community. And Ollie got many, many people on in his team, many people coming to Hot Dog Wednesdays. It is so chaotic, I dare not show my face down there. And you also agreed to the new service timings. Again, I just want to thank the 9 a.m. congregation who have to turn out very early indeed on a Sunday morning and have been so graceful about that decision. And it has borne fruit because the 11 a.m. is growing, and the 9 a.m. certainly hasn't lost lots of people. So it's been a good decision. And the key thing is Alpha has kept going and people have come to faith. This is what we're about. We're about introducing people to Jesus Christ and helping disciple them. And Alpha has been a key step in that path. And we are in uncertain times. I was praying with Lucia on Friday morning. And on the news, there was this Russia has tested its new Satan II intercontinental ballistic missile. Now, I'm, like many of you, old enough to have lived through the Cold War. And we remember all this mutually assured destruction stuff. And, you know, Lucia said to me, darling, are we heading for a third world war here? And it is quite concerning, isn't it? A 20-ton missile that can travel 11,000 miles with, 11 warheads. That's 11 cities the size of London can be wiped out. All its submunitions traveling at hypersonic speed. It's pretty depressing. So we live in these very uncertain times, times when only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can give us true hope. True hope at a time when there is so much hopelessness in the world. And of course, closer to home, forgetting about nuclear war, we have this awful, dreadful rise in the cost of living. Some of us will be able to cope with it, just cut back here and there, but there will be many people who will struggle. I cannot believe how much money I am now spending on my gas and electricity. I mean, it's more than I save every month. You know, it's way more than that. So I don't know how a large proportion of our community in Buckingham are going to survive. So we live in these uncertain times. And it is easy to worry about these things. And I keep reminding myself, worrying is a sin, is it not? And then when we look at the passage David's just read to us, it is the Jesus Manifesto. Do you remember it's the one that later on he asks for the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he reads it out in the synagogue. And of course, Jesus is the fulfillment of this. But it really is his manifesto, and it should be ours too. Proclaim the good news. Well, our preaching, I think, is always good news, whether it's on a Sunday or midweek. We've got a wonderful team of preachers who preach the gospel. But we also need to proclaim the good news to those who don't know anything about Jesus. And that's why our outreach is so important. It's so easy to focus on what goes on in here on a Sunday, to focus on our buildings, focus on our programs, you know, whatever it is, men's breakfast, X, Y, and Z. But we must maintain a laser focus on reaching the lost for Jesus. So our outreach is crucial, and part of that is Alpha. And then, of course, when we do this, we will set the captives free. Not literally see mass jailbreaks, because, of course, we're talking about spiritual bondage. We're talking about people who wander around with no idea of the kind of spiritual chains they are in. Because they're in Satan's grasp. They're in Satan's territory. And they don't know. They're just wandering around thinking this is all life has to offer. But the gospel sets people free. And that's why we need to proclaim it. So those who are stumbling around in spiritual darkness, come into the light of Christ. And then the other thing it says, we must bind up the brokenhearted and comfort those who mourn. And it's wonderful. Sadly, Jo Wigley can't be here today. She's on a training weekend on her way to ordination. But that's what her ministry area takes care of so well here. And I was thinking as I was writing this, there's so many obstacles to doing this, aren't there? There's a lack of availability of people, their time, their talents. We're always on the lookout for more volunteers. And of course, we always need more money. But we mustn't let those obstacles stand in the way of being the answer, being part of the answer to this great manifesto of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that we do ultimately, in other words, we need to ask ourselves our why. Why are we here? Everyone needs to have be able to answer the why question. Whether you're a business, a corporation, a house, wife, father, whatever it is. You know, what is your why? Our why is to be a part in meeting the needs of this manifesto. This is why church is here. If you ask any member of the team here, why are you doing what you're doing? It's to introduce whoever it is to Jesus Christ. Why are you delivering a food parcel? The answer, the why, is not because they're hungry or because they need food. The why is because I want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And delivering a food parcel helps me do that. And as we gather people in, we grow them in their faith, hopefully we disciple people, and then we send them out into the world, into the community, out into their Monday to Friday jobs as ambassadors for Christ. We gather, we grow, and we go. So that's what we're about. We're still about what we've always been about, and that's what we will continue to be about. But what of this year, 2022? Well, I don't know about you, but I thought Easter was amazing. Always love coming up to that very first hymn, Jesus Christ is risen today. We've got the Jubilee to look forward to. We're having a beacon lighting ceremony. We've bought, in partnership with the town council, a big gas beacon, gas-powered beacon that some heroic person is going to get on the roof and light it at the appointed. Poor Nigel, he's pulling his hair out. He's got to write the risk assessment for this. Pray for him. But it's going to be up on the roof, and we're going to have a gathering outside, and it's going to be part of a nationwide beacon lighting event. And then on the Sunday, the 5th of June, we're going to have a civic service in here at 11 a.m. Do please come along. And then in the afternoon at 3:30, all our congregations will come together for a kind of a Pentecost praise service. And hopefully we might even be baptizing more people then. We then got Holiday Club later on, and then we've got the parish weekend. It's all gone quiet on the parish weekend. Planning is still going on, but obviously we've had Easter and other things going on. Stand by for a relaunch of our parish weekend away. I think we've got nearly 100 people signed up. We need another 60 more if we're going to break even on this. So I'm going to be really encouraging everybody to come on the parish weekend away. And in terms of staffing, Jade is leaving us after she gets married. That will leave a huge hole, and we've advertised, and I think we have one or two applicants, so I'm looking forward to hearing the outcome of that recruitment process. Do pray for that. And also, a second curate is starting in the summer. Opie ALA is starting, and it will be great to have Opie on the team come late June. But there are some challenges. I think in terms of a spiritual challenge, it's evangelism. It's the culture of invitation. You know, the reason why we all pour ourselves out, the sides people, the chalice assistant, Rob on the organ, the choir, whoever it is, the people on production, we pour ourselves out into our Sunday services is so that you feel really comfortable to invite people along, because you know it's going to be good. You know the sermon's going to be good. You know the music's going to be good. You know there's going to be a warm welcome. There's going to be great refreshments before and after or whatever. You know, that's why we pour ourselves out on the Sundays. But we need, and I include myself, we need to be inviting people along to the services. There's a great offering. So there's that evangelism. That's a big spiritual challenge. Praise God, we saw lots of new faces over Easter. I pray they will come back and return and eventually get hooked up into church. And then there's some practical challenges. And really, they kind of flow out of our finances. They will be squeezed by the cost of living crisis. The boiler, can you believe it? The boiler. I didn't even specifically launch an appeal for the boiler, but we have had two donations which have covered the boiler costs. I mean, talk about an answer to prayer. It's fantastic. And we're just, again, poor Nigel is, he's trying to do it really green. Should we spend £250,000 ripping up the floor with underfloor heating and massive banks of air source heat pumps, or should we just get another boiler? So poor Nigel and a team are sort of heading all that up. Do pray for wisdom, and praise God, it hasn't been too cold. We've then got the subsidence issue at the back. We're hoping people I don't think will know this, but one of the surveys discovered a chamber. Is it chamber the right description? That we didn't know about. Even Paul Harens didn't know about that. I tried to blame him, because between him and Judith Bundock and Jill Stops, you know, they are supposed to know everything about the church. We discovered this, and it's just full of water and it's not draining. So the engineers are thinking, well, perhaps this is the cause of the subsidence. So we may not need to pay a huge amount to get it underpinned. We may just need to sort that out, wait for a bit, and then fill up the crack. Or perhaps we still need to put the rod through to bring it back in. But anyway, do please pray that that is the problem. But that is, however you look at it, that's quite a few tens of thousands. We should have been recruiting a families worker this September. That was what the plan was. But because of the deficit that we think we may have towards the end of the year, the PCC very reluctantly is pushing that appointment off to the right, perhaps into 2023. If our giving went up, we could appoint a families worker, which I think is really important to do. And then there's our outreach. The post is due to finish in September, and I wonder, in the light of what I've been saying about the importance of outreach and evangelism, whether that is the right thing to do. But we've taken that post as a saving in September. I would love our income to be such that we needn't take that post as a saving. So those are the challenges for this year, and I don't underestimate what a challenge those all are, because all our incomes are being squeezed by this wretched cost of living crisis. But God is good all the time. God is sovereign, and I'm sure if he wants us to do these things, we're going to get a breakthrough somewhere, somehow. We had a breakthrough on the boiler. It's not even as if the church had time to even get on its knees before we had that breakthrough. I pray that there will be another breakthrough, that we can get those two posts reinstated for this year. And then just to kind of end on, looking further ahead, people ask me, because I've kind of got to that age now where people are saying, oh, you know, when you retire, what would you like to look back on as, you know, a good legacy issue for the parish church? It's the same things. I'd love to start a Christian school, you know, whether it's a church school or just a school that we are deeply involved with and has a really strong Christian ethos. I would love to achieve that. And I think, as I said last year, we have James Tooley here, the Vice Chancellor, and James is actually here with his lovely new wife, Cynthia. James is passionate about starting schools. He's started tens and tens of schools in different parts of the world. So we kind of have a school planting guru in our congregation. So I'm wondering if perhaps this is part of God's heavenly knitting, but we need to move that forward. And again, I'd love to see that happen in the next few years, particularly as the population of Buckingham is growing. And then the other one still remains the challenge of an associate minister. We've been blessed with amazing curates, and I hope that will continue. But for a church our side, curates come and go, as you all know. To get some continuity, it would be wonderful to have an associate minister, somebody to co-lead the church, to help head up all the pastoral and discipleship side of the church without having to worry about all the other kind of more management issues I have to deal with. And that is expensive. Ideally, they need a house to live in, and obviously they need a salary, and the combination of those two things makes that a big, hairy financial challenge. But I think that it's something that we really need to work out how we're going to address that before I go. There's also an element of succession planning there. So, for example, we could appoint an associate minister, let's say, in the next 3 years, and then when I retire, who knows, they might be the right person to step into my shoes, albeit after a normal kind of recruitment sort of selection process. A lot of churches do that, and it makes sense. So I will be a happy man indeed when I retire in between 5 and 7 years to have realized those two objectives, so no pressure on you. I think it's an exciting vision. We're still, in a sense, in the recovery mode out of COVID, albeit I think we've done incredibly well. But with the current sort of crisis going on in the world, I suspect it won't be before next year that we can really get our teeth into some of these things. But we can start to pray for them now. Nehemiah was a man with a huge vision, and he says this: Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today. What speaks to me from that is not so much asking God to give us success, but the fact that prayer is at the heart of that verse. And I think if we pray, and we pray consistently and earnestly in the power of the Spirit, God will answer our prayers. Amen. So, there was no any other business, and we are doing really very, very well for time. I'm now feeling guilty having threatened Harry and Brian with shooting outside the church if they went a minute over their allocated time. We're now kind of quite ahead of the game, so I really do want to encourage anybody who's got some questions. We got a good 10, 15 minutes if people do want to say something. Perhaps you've got something on your heart. Ali is our trained whippet, and he will run around with a handheld.